Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Great sounds of music, my family. What a time to be alive. And Benjamin Dube, thank you so much to those beautiful sounds of music. Bishop Benjamin Dube, my family, with a track titled Yiwo Lawa. I'm reading a very interesting, very, very interesting statistic here. It is an article that was actually 80% of small businesses fail within 5 years. And in previously disadvantaged communities, only 1% of businesses progress from employing less than 5 people to having staff of more than 10 people. That's an unfortunate statistic. But to tell us more, my family, and to help us understand and navigate some of the reasons why businesses fail, it's also an interesting article on the JTB Professional Business Plan Specialists blog. And it looks at some of the reasons why in South Africa, specifically, businesses fail. And of course, helping us is the one and only solutions engineer. He is a business coach and certainly one of the greatest minds in the curation of small businesses here in South Africa. Doc, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to the listeners, and thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Doc, why do businesses fail?
So if you've got a page, you can write there about just a million reasons that businesses fail. But you know, I like what you're talking about, the statistic that you're talking about, Aya. You know, to just bring sight to that. So the businesses in, remember, business needs money in order to grow. It needs money for expansion. It needs money for their marketing, their publicity, and all those things. So the reason that you find businesses in disadvantaged communities not making it in such, it's mainly another reason that is a big reason is the fact that there is no capital. So there is no easily available capital to be able to do these things. And also, not only that there is no capital, but there is also nothing in terms of property and such that can be used, you know, to leverage the capital from funding institutions. So if people don't have property that they can put in as security, people don't have a rich father, a rich uncle, a family that has done this over time, a farm that we have stashed somewhere in the family that you can use as leverage or as security to leverage this capital. So that is why you find also that one big discrepancy when it comes to advantaged and disadvantaged communities. But why do businesses fail is millions of things that make business fail. Sometimes it's, we go into a business that is really not needed in the community that we are in or where we're operating in. So we've got this this thing that, you know, the people here are so suffering. I am going to do this for them because they need it so much. They need a hair salon here. Yo, so I'm going to put a hair salon for them. But the problem is that we do this without having gone to go see and say, do they want the hair salon here or do they want to go do their hair somewhere else? Do they have the money for the hair salon? Do they want to do the hair salon or they want to go to the neighbor? Those things are things that are important to establish. So the first question to ask when you go into the business is, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? That way, then, you are able to get a response as to how, what is it that the business needs, and how do people need that done for them. So that then puts you in a position where at least you are able to give that type of business very well for the people. You are able to then keep the people interested in that business because you are satisfying a need. The other thing also is that when we are doing this business and that, we have got this thing where we focus on the type of business that we do, so we become technocrats. So you go and you open your hair salon and you are so great in doing hair, but you are not great in running a hair business. So we find that happening a lot, where people are great in what they do, but they know that, but they don't know how to run the business. That's very important, because if you don't understand that, you tend to do everything wrong. When you speak to people, you speak in the wrong language that the business does not understand. You start treating money of the business like your money. You start, so all those things happen usually because we understand what we are doing, but we don't understand the business of what we are doing. I say every time, you can be a great engineer, but you may be a terrible operator of an engineering business. So that those are the things that we need to start understanding when we talk about business and what makes the businesses fail.
You know, Doc, there's also business incubators have invested a lot, you know, even the entirety of the business incubator service offering includes putting together business plans, because there's this understanding that, you know, if we don't, you've said this also, and I also believe it, you know, Doc, if we don't plan, then we plan to fail, you know.
Yes.
However, yes. Doc, we've seen businesses fall apart within an excellent business plan, you know. I speak from absolute experience as an entrepreneur. I know that you've probably gone through your own dips in your own business with a solid business plan. So Doc, when you actually look at the reasons why a business will fail, it's because of the market volatility. Whilst a business plan is great infrastructure, I think what a business plan probably doesn't do is train the person that's supposed to be the custodian of the business plan to manage market volatility. What would your comments be around that, Doc?
So I'm going to say something that some might find controversial. So when to the issue of business planning, I believe that business planning needs to come at a stage where the business is an SME, not an SMME, right?
Okay,
so where the business is an SME, which is, what is the SME? The SME, it's by virtue of the amount of money we make, the number of people that we've employed, the sustainability that we are in as a business, then we can then look at that business and say, we are at an SME space, so we need a business plan. Before we get to that space, I would say the business canvas model is the most important document. The business canvas model is a one-pager that looks at market, that looks at money, that looks at marketing, that looks at the service or the product itself that you are selling. So you've got this one page that when someone takes that page and looks at it, it tells them exactly what this business is about, how is it supposed to operate, how are we going to know if we are not meeting what we're supposed to meet by just looking at this one page, because it has detailed everything in it. A business canvas model is very easy to follow. And why do we need a business canvas model at that stage? It's because you have got so much on your hands that you are running around with to try to keep just your head above water. You don't really have the time and the luxury of the business plan that is detailed into things and that. So you're doing 7-8 different roles in this business and that. You need a one page that is able to help you follow with everything because of the time and everything and that. And you need something that is easily evaluated to be able to give you the answers that you need. So the business canvas model works better in SMEs, while the business plan works better in SMEs.
No, absolutely. No, I mean, conceptually, in fact, in terms of the tool itself, Doc, I think its effectiveness cannot be questioned at all. I think, let me go back to my question, because, and I ask this specifically because here's my concern, Doc, where the issue of businesses failing is. My concern, sir, is the fact that we, like everything else, we are stuck on traditional business planning. And yet we are catering for a modernized, evolving economy globally, by the way. So the canvas, for example, that's a reenactment of the business plan. And as you say, all it is that it's more suitable to the smaller, micro sort of a small business, you know, versus the SME, which has sort of reached another stage of its growth, curve.
Correct.
So the canvas, all it is a summary of a business plan, but conceptually it is exactly the same thing. So, for example, that small business owner who is now saved up enough money to move from her house to have a trailer, and they are now securely stationed at a municipal accredited place, everything is in place. How do they ensure that regardless of what disease comes and says, no more selling of maguinya, that they will still, as a business, survive and be able to redefine their service offering, to redefine themselves so that the market condition does not consume them and the business canvas is not going to help them? Because the business canvas does not have the ears and the eyes, you know, to read the market. That, I think for me, that's probably the biggest concern that I have.
Definitely. So Aya, if you look at that, and you're right there, it is not going to do it for them. But if you look at that, what is it that the business canvas model does for you? And this is what lacks in many businesses.
Sure.
You need the indicators that are there to be able to tell you where you are heading as a business. So it's like a pilot flying a plane, and that you need coordinates that are telling you. So when anything wrong starts happening, you are able to pick it up in the beginning of it. So that's what a business canvas does for you. You are able to sit and say, listen, this year are my indicators that I'm succeeding. This year are the indicators when I'm doing wrong. This is how I'm targeting this market that I need and want to talk to. So you look in those situations. So that business canvas model, it actually is supposed to talk to you and assist you in that situation to say, here is the direction that you are taking to get where you are going. Now, without that, the problem is that you might be moving, but moving towards the wrong direction. And if you are moving towards the wrong direction, then you are going to crash. So the most important part of it is that you want and you need to know that you are moving towards the direction that you need to move to.
Right.
Otherwise, your business is going to perish. So that document is just one thing that is, you know, readily available to us to remind you every time to say, this is where we are heading, this is how we have planned to go there, and this is how we are going to measure and evaluate our path to that destination that we have planned for. So that's where the important part of it.
Sure.
So we cannot be in a situation where we say, no, we are not planning as the business. Because, like we said, if we are not planning, we are still planning,
right.
We're just planning to fail.
Right.
So we cannot be in a position where we are not planning. It is just to say, how innovative is our planning at each stage of the business?
That is absolutely phenomenal. I think I love that. The innovation of our planning at each stage of the business. Finally, Doc, you started with this one and I thought, too early. You know, I don't want to poke the bear too early. You spoke about the issue of capital. Money answers many things. All things, actually. We know this, right? So we can't do businesses without capital. However, like, I think the thread of my own personal questions today really just looks at the issue of capital to say that whilst capital is important, but does the presence or the availability of capital guarantee business success?
No.
Yes. Thank you, Doc. Thank you so much. Thank you for
it
that.
It does not.
Yes.
So you can take a million rands and put it in a business that was not going to work. That million rand is not going to help that business work just because there's a million into it.
Fantastic.
However, if you take a business that was going to work but needs a million, and you don't put that million into that business, saying that business is going to fail because it does not have the million that it needs to work. So as much as capital is extremely important in ensuring the success of the business, capital cannot force or magically make the business work.
Sure. That's a great way of leaving it right there. Many are the reasons, my family, why businesses fail. We've dealt with the issue of business planning, the lack of financial literacy. I think we've spoken about this, Doc, many, many times. There's also capital, always a big issue. But I think then the issue of literacy, maybe Doc will deal with that, because in the month of... let me just look at my dates. In the month of May, right? Yes. The next time we have this conversation will be the 1st of May. Glory be to Jesus. So in the month of May, Doc, we are going to be analyzing family-owned businesses. And of course, the issue of literacy is like a great enabler in that particular space. So thank you for your time.
Important.
Yeah. Thank you for your time today, Doc. We look forward to next week and just spreading that across the month of May, understanding the secret behind family-owned businesses. And between now and then, Doc, where do we find you?
Yeah, thank you very much. You can find me on www.lucasmoloi.com. On Twitter, it is at Lucas Moloi. And on Facebook, it is The Champ. On LinkedIn and other platforms, it's at Lucas Moloi.
Fantastic, Doc. Truly appreciate you. And we'll meet up with you again in the new month.
Thank you very much. And yeah, have a blessed day.
Fantastic, my family. That is Dr. Lucas Moloi. Absolutely appreciate his time. An incredible community builder, very involved in his community. I think there's so much more that's still going to come up for the rest of this year. But right now, he is indeed a business coach. He is a solutions engineer, very respected in the area of small businesses, having contributed products and solutions to many, many organizations. And we truly appreciate that. Every single Wednesday, he joins us for conversation and continues to share insights in the area of business. 30 after 1 is your time. We're crossing over to help you navigate your traffic. And of course, there's a secret conversation. I'm excited. In fact, let me just let it out of the bag. So, community time between 1:30 and 2:00. We deal with conversations and issues pertaining to community, and we really look forward to that. So, Bazalwane. So, I've been seeing a lot of, I don't know about you, but hey, yeah, no. We are in graduation season. Pella, hey, I know. There's been honorary doctorates raining. It's been raining honorary doctorates, okay? Like, raining honorary. I don't know why I've not been approached. Like, excuse me. Like, how old do you have to be? Please, can the years that I have spent behind this microphone be recognized? Okay, I don't understand. Okay, because it's been raining honorary doctorates. Anyway, so this afternoon we've got the Council on Higher Education joining us on the line, and I'm super excited, my family, because we are going to get it from the officials themselves. We've approached the council to chat to us this afternoon and to help us sort of navigate and clarify the whole issue around bogus qualifications, and of course the whole thing of inferring doctoral degrees. What does it take? What are the requirements? That is the conversation on the other side of the traffic report. And of course we're joined by Chief Executive Officer of the Council on Higher Education, Dr. Whitefield Green. Absolutely respect all the work that he's done in the education space over years and years of experience. And so we really look forward to that conversation together with Dr. Whitefield Green. But right now, crossing over to the traffic at 32 after 1.
One vision, one voice, one message. Radio Pulpit 657 AM and 729 Cape Pulpit, impacting lives from Gauteng to the Cape.
Radio Pulpit understands that praying alone isn't always easy. So, join us to form a chain of prayer for you and with you. To do so, send in your prayer requests on 067-429-7564. That is 067-429-7564. Or alternatively, email us on prayer@radiopulpit.co.za. That is prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
We understand that as a young person, you face many challenges that threaten both your safety and mental well-being. And in this fast-moving world, you don't always have someone to talk to. That's why I Am Youth has joined hands with Child Protection Hotline to give reliable and accessible counseling to young people. So send a WhatsApp text, SMS, or call the number 076-037-6345 to get help today. We believe that you are worth it.
Passionate about God, passionate about people. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.